Episode 1916, My Strength is My Story with Pastor Roderick Harrison. Cover him.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a
stop sign, watching. Happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us in the house, Pastor Rod Harrison. Oh my goodness, he's an NFL chaplain, a pastor, a life coach. We had a blast. I cannot wait for you to listen in. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Pastor Rod's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple strategy, everyday solutions to live, love, and impact. Well, this episode is brought to you by the AIM Academy. All right. Well, I am just too excited because you know me in football. Oh, yes, we can't get enough of it. Now, understand this. We actually interviewed and chatted with each other in February, the day before Valentine's Day. We talk a little bit about that in the interview. But are you ready to have your marriage changed? Oh, yes. Cover him. It's all about how we as women can lift up our men. Did you realize how much your man needs from you? I think sometimes we think as women, they've got it all put together. Oh, no, ladies. I'm here to tell you, they need us. And men, as you listen in, you know what? You're going to hear a lot from the other side. It's a dynamic conversation, and we're going to even have him back. So without further ado, let's welcome in Pastor Rod Harrison. Cover him. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. Oh my goodness. Can I just say football, NFL, and chaplain? I am beyond thrilled to welcome Pastor Roderick Harrison to our home here at Create Your Now. He is a husband of 29 years to his beautiful bride, Sherry, and father to their three adult daughters and one adult son, whom they consider their magnum opus, their great work. Pastor Rod is a senior pastor of Messiah Community Church just outside of Baltimore, Maryland. For 14 seasons, he invested his passion for men and families as chaplain and life coach of the NFL's Baltimore Ravens. There he earned two Super Bowl rings. Whoop, whoop. When Pastor Rod is not teaching, preaching, or coaching, you'll find him speaking to men and married couples around the country and on his iPad coaching NFL couples. However, he is a man who never leaves home without his camera. Pastor Rod is the author of two books, Cover Her and his latest, Cover Him, Caring for the Hidden Needs, Thoughts, and Feelings of the Man You Love. Get ready to understand how to love your man. Welcome, my friend and brother in Christ. How are you?
I am doing extraordinarily well, and it's great to be with you, Christiane. That was a wonderful introduction. Thank you.
Oh, well, you're most welcome. You've earned it, and I just have got to say, I am giddy because I am a football fanatic.
Uh-oh,
and
all right.
And on top of that, you know, I'm originally from Hawaii, but a lot of my family and some of my time moving around was in Kansas City, so...
This is your time.
It is our time. We're celebrating just a little bit. But also, little backstory, my father was a chaplain in the military and also as a hospital chaplain. So having you just feels like a brother, literally, or a father. Either way, it's awesome.
That's excellent. We got a bond already.
We do. Well, I have to ask you, what brings you joy?
Wow. What brings me joy? You know, I could give you the super spiritual answer and say Jesus, and that's absolutely true. But he's given me some amazing sources of joy as well. My wife is, she's the top of those, right? Just our relationship. We got an amazing relationship, and I love her. I love her friendship. I love the camaraderie that we share. She's my biggest fan, my biggest source of encouragement. I've got amazing kids. They bring me joy. I love just sitting down, talking with them, now learning from them because they're all young adults. And so they're a great source of joy. Photography brings me a lot of joy. I am an avid photographer. You can catch my site. It's called rodharrisongallery.com, where a lot of my images reside. And so, yeah, I just got back from the beach a few minutes ago, just walking and took some time to do some shooting this morning. So it's, yeah, that's what I love to do. So those things bring me joy. And I would say helping men and couples get better in life and experience all that God has for them. Those are all sources of joy for me. So I live a great life. I'm grateful to God for that.
Oh, I can hear the joy in your heart, and it is just shining and beaming off of you. Well, take us back to little Rod. God had a provision on your life from the very, very beginning.
Yeah, that's a great question. My journey back to little Rod, I had this sort of unique balance of blessings and burdens. And so the blessing is that my mom, who raised two boys as a single mom, she still is. I just saw her yesterday. She was just extraordinary. She was well invested, and she took great care of us, and she nurtured us and provided for us and cooked great meals for us and disciplined us. I watched my mom sort of fight her way through life as a single black mom without a husband. And so the burden side of that is, you know, she raised us in virtual poverty in the projects in Virginia, here where I am right now. She raised us by herself, and my dad was absent. He was going through his own troubles as a troubled man. I didn't understand that in my younger years. I understand it better now, but that was part of the burden. And so little Rod was constantly trying to figure out what will make life happen well, be secure. And one of the questions I asked was like, am I always going to live in these projects like this? Is this how it's going to go? So that was my story. Those were my questions.
Wow. Well, where did God meet you?
God met me through the death of my grandfather, who was really the dad in my life. He was the only man that I knew. And he died, though, when I was 8 years old. And I will never forget the day that I came home from school. I got off the school bus. And in fact, my school bus used to let me off in front of his house. But I knew that he wasn't there. I knew that he was in the hospital. You know, at 8 years old, you don't get all of that. So when I got home, I got the news from my aunt that he had passed, and it devastated me. It sent me on a journey of asking the question, what happens to people when they die? And I really wanted an answer to that at 8 years old. God used that inquiry to lead me to faith in Christ by the time that I was 11. Between 8 years old, eight and a half, and 11 years of age, I was constantly inquiring, going to church. I'm sort of listening to this gospel and trying to understand what it means and what it means to be saved, right? That was the language of my upbringing. And I was trying to understand what that meant. And at 11 years old, I heard very clearly from God that now is the time. First Sunday morning that I could get to church at 11 years old, I made my way down the center aisle to the altar after the preacher gave the invitation, and that's when I accepted Christ.
Oh, praise the Lord. What a story. A story of how good God is and how faithful he is. Well, how did you come into ministry?
So I came into ministry very unintentionally. So, you know, when I did, you know, went to college, I always knew that I would go to college. I just knew that that was a part of my story. I was always sort of cerebral and introverted. I loved getting home with my books and reading and doing my homework. And when I went through my high school years, I really got away from God. I didn't have much discipleship. But when I got to college, I was introduced to a Christian group on campus and started really growing in my relationship with God. God introduced me to some great guys who were a year and 2 years older, but they were following Jesus. And so I ended up in their Bible studies, and we played basketball together, and we went camping together. And these guys really encouraged my faith. When I got to my junior year of college, I kept hearing God say, ministry, ministry, ministry. Now, I was a business major with the intention of going into the financial world, right? When you come out of poverty, you're like, let's go make some money. So I wanted to drive a black BMW with tan interior, you understand me, and have some money to go with it. But God is saying ministry. And I'm like, are you serious? So I was like, I had to wrestle with God about that. I got my degree in finance, went into banking, but I kept hearing this call to ministry. And within 2 years of being in commercial banking, I just could not resist it anymore. I left and went into ministry, working at that point with college athletes and coaches.
Wow. What a turnaround.
That's a big turnaround.
That
and nobody,
is big.
Nobody in my life really understood. They all thought I was crazy, except for my buddies, right? My friends who were encouraging my faith journey.
Well, it's amazing how God works, and He always works in those mysterious ways because we can never put the pieces of the puzzle together. That's why it's mysterious to us. We don't understand the end result until we have already gone through it. And oh, what a blessing that I know you have been already to so many people out there, and I know you will continue to be. Well, Cover Him was birthed out of a request because you wrote the book Cover Her. Give us a little backstory to how those two kind of intertwined and interconnected.
Sure. So Cover Her came about largely because I kept having this sort of impression from God that what I was seeing and what I had seen in my upbringing and was seeing as a chaplain and life coach in the NFL needed to be addressed. And what I saw was a lot of men who had become consumers of women. And I had my season as a man in that problematic space as well, right? And so as I'm growing and as I'm watching these men and just sort of figuring out how to help them grow, I'm seeing these problems of men constantly consuming women. Well, in my upbringing, there were very few women in my community who had men who were faithful. In fact, there are very few men in my family line who had been faithful. And so I'd made a resolution. I said, someday I'm going to be a husband and a father, and I'm never going to leave my wife and children. That was a resolution at an early age. I didn't know how to live that out, but it was always sort of planted deep in my spirit. So as I'm watching these things unfold in the NFL, players and how they're treating their wives, coaches and how some of them are treating their wives, and not all of these are bad people. That's not the point, right? There's some amazing guys who had largely had very few models of manhood. And so God kept impressing on me, write this book, write this book. I'm like, what is this book going to be? And I got it. From a friend, he said, why don't you call it Cover Her? And I said, okay. And then God just started to download it, how to create a safe place for the ladies in your life, physically, financially, emotionally, and spiritually. Because I watched these women being consumed. And then I read Judges chapter 19 as I'm reading through my Bible that year. And I saw this story of this young woman who had been exposed to all of these men on her journey. She was the concubine of a Levite. In modern vernacular, she was the girlfriend of a deacon. Now figure that one out.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. You got it now, right? And I said, that's a problem. And as that story unfolded, I saw how this woman went uncovered and she was abused and she was exposed to danger. And all these men, including the Levite and including an older man and including these men from the community, including her own father, neglected her and exposed her to all manner of abuse. I couldn't believe that what I was reading was actually in the Bible, but it became the fuel for the book Cover Her and sort of fueled my challenge to men. Let's be men who cover women, help them accomplish their God-given dream rather than consume and conquer.
That's incredible. Well, I know Cover Her is on its way. I have read Cover Him. I can't wait to read Cover Her, even though it's kind of about me, but I still want to, you know, I think it's a reverse role, right? I want to see,
Absolutely. You
know, maybe I am perceiving myself differently than how I am being perceived.
Wow.
Perception.
So, yeah, that's quite possible. So Cover Him is, I think it's become helpful to women. And I wrote it as a response to women. Although the Cover Her was written for men, but women, you know, you know how ladies are.
Yeah.
If your husband is reading a book, you're going to pick it up and see what he's reading. So they started thumbing through Cover Her and they said, well, Pastor, when are you going to write for us so that we will know what we should be about in the interest of the man that we love. And it took me a long time to write that book because, one, I did not want to come across chauvinistically, right? I didn't want to minimize a lot of the problems that women had expressed about the things they were going through with men. And so I couldn't figure out the language for it. And then after praying and thinking and writing, I mean, just I tore up so many like beginning manuscripts of that book. The God finally gave me the go ahead and he said, this is how I want you to write it. And so I wrote Cover Him as really a coaching manual for women to give women insights into the hidden needs, thoughts and feelings of their men, because we don't talk about what we're feeling, what we're thinking or what we need. And so I wanted to help women understand what men were saying to me in interviews that they need from the ladies in their life.
Oh, so, so good. Well, let's dive in. What is one of the number one things that we as women miss when it comes to loving our man?
Woo! One of the number one things? We could take any one of those chapters and make them number one. It just depends on the man in some ways, mm-hmm. right? So, but one of the popular chapters in the book is actually the first chapter, the chapter called Affirm Him. And what I find is whenever I teach this to couples around the country, men perk up. In fact, I was doing an interview yesterday with a married couple on their podcast, and they were telling, as I'm talking about Affirm Him, the husband, you could see his posture. He just started lighting up like, finally, somebody is saying this, right? That we need affirmation. And I think women miss it simply because they think we're so tough and we, you know, like we just got so many men will just kind of keep doing what's necessary. But we are longing for that word of affirmation that encourages us. Something as simple as, thank you for going to work every day. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
You're such a good provider. Right. You're a great dad to the kids. Right. You put up with a lot, and I don't know how you do that, right? Just those words of affirmation that lets a man know that he is seen and that he is appreciated by the woman who loves him goes a long way. And I find that women are saying, wow, I didn't realize that he needed that, right? Because women need it too. I mean, if we're honest, right? We all need it, but she usually doesn't know that her man needs it.
So true, and such great wisdom, because we all want to be known. We want to be seen. And
that's right.
That is so important for us as women to do that, because unfortunately, the kids get in the way, bills
yes.
get in the way, activities get in the way, life gets in the way. I mean, excuse after an excuse. And it's not that we forget our man, but we don't hold him up to the high esteem that he so rightly deserves.
Listen, even for an imperfect man, right? I know there are a lot of guys out there who try, you know, they need to get their acts together. That's just the real, you know, that's real talk. But I tell ladies, even a broke clock is right once a day.
So true.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, so it's just important to acknowledge the good thing, the positive thing that you can, because when you do that, that man begins to rise to that, right? And we see examples, and sometimes we see negative examples, like David and his first wife, Saul's daughter, Michael. She missed a wonderful opportunity, right? Here David is. He's coming finally into the city with the Ark of the Covenant. He failed at it before. This is the pinnacle moment of his career. And she's up in the window looking down at him dancing into the city, right? With all of these young women around and people are celebrating with him, and she's not there by his side to say, go, Davy, go, right? Great job, right? Instead, when he gets up to the palace, she says, oh, how the king has made a fool of himself, right? She should have been saying, I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited for you. This is a great moment. Great job, right? It didn't work out the first time, but you persevered through it, right? She had so many opportunities to affirm him. And the Bible says that from that day on, David never slept with her.
Wow.
Because he was so hurt by the missed moment, right? In fact, the very opposite of affirmation, she tore him down, that he was repulsed. And so he just sort of distanced himself from her and never touched her again. Mm. And that helped me to see how important affirmation is.
Yeah, we need to be lifting up our men, and not just the man we're married to, but that's we need right. to lift up our sons.
That's right.
Our
that's right.
nephews. If you have yes. a man, I mean, you could be in the grocery store line and there could be the guy that's checking you out, not in that way, as in, sure, yeah. you know, yeah, that could be kind of scary. Not checking you out that way, but checking you out as in ringing you up. Oh dear, this is just not good conversation now. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
it's that, hey, thanks for being so kind to my groceries. Thanks for double bagging that. Oh my gosh.
There you go. Simple words of affirmation. I think they'll make a huge difference in our culture, in the upbringing of our sons, right? I like to remind women, you are extraordinarily powerful. And, you know, the narrative toward women in America has been that women are weak, right? And that that's just not true. Women have extraordinary power, and much of that power, right? Bible says that power, life and death are in the power of the tongue, right?
Amen.
When a lady uses her tongue for good toward that little boy or that nephew or that husband or that significant other, she is exercising great power in the best way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We've got to affirm, and we've got to step it up, women. Come on. I know you guys want us to step it up. So, you know, let's take that challenge on. Well, you have 13 chapters, and we're not going to go through all 13. Because, I mean, we could, but they're going to want to pick up their own copy of the book, Cover Him, Caring for the Hidden Needs, Thoughts, and Feelings of the Man You Love. But in this book, chapter 2, and I think this is important because, I don't know, prayer sometimes sits on the back corner and it's like the 911 call when we need it. Like, oh, maybe I'll pick up the phone and call God. You know, okay. But you say that we need to pray and cover him, cover our man. Where does prayer show up?
Oh my goodness, prayer is crucial. It is pivotal. I mean, it literally changes things for that man in your life, right? Sometimes, and I say this gently to my sisters, sometimes you think you can talk a man into his best move, right? And trying to convince him to do something or not do something. That you believe he should do or not do. Well, we as men, we have sort of a threshold that at some point talking to us is not going to change things. And I think it's important for women to get that. But prayer, it supersedes your ability to convince and change him. And I think when a woman prays, what you're saying is, I'm not going to make myself, fool myself into thinking that I have the power to change this, but rather I'm going to depend on God, right? Every man, by the way, has blind spots, right? We got our blind spots, right? And you can't talk a man into seeing his blind spot. I know, because my wife has stopped trying to talk me into seeing mine.
I love it.
So when I, you know, I'll bring to my wife like crazy ideas, like, I think I'm going to do this. I should do this, right? I'm this sort of serial entrepreneurial type. And she'll just look at me and go, okay. Right now she doesn't even say anything. She just start asking me these inquisitive questions. Like, why are you doing that? And so where did this idea, sometimes she don't even ask the question. She just, when I see her nod and go, okay, I know that she has gone to her prayer closet. And about 2 weeks later, right, I'll come back to her and say, you know, I don't think I'm going to do that. She goes, oh, really? Just that thing. She might just say, yeah, I was praying about that one, right? She knows that when she prays, the Bible says that the king's heart is in the Lord's hand, and he directs it like a water course wherever he pleases. She knows that God can change my heart and my mind. And I just want to encourage women, right? Lift him up, considering the things he's facing, considering the decisions he has to make, but you have prayer on your side. It's an amazing, amazing resource.
That is so true. We have to be able to relinquish control, and we can do that best by praying.
Yes.
And
yes.
And I mean, as a woman, I mean, I have five children, so I get the chaos. I understand it. I've lived it. Mine are now older. Our youngest is a freshman now in high school. So things are a little bit easier where I can catch a breath. However, I also know that with moms, we have to control, right? Because we've got the children. We've got to wrangle them and tote them and throw them and whatever we're doing with all the kiddos everywhere. But our husband, he doesn't want that mama control. He wants the wife.
That's right. Listen, men need to be loved like sons, but treated like men.
Amen.
Loved like sons, treated like men. So we're not going to give away all the goodies. Your audience has got to buy this book. I really believe, and this is the prayer for me and Sherry, is that Cover Him combined with Cover Her will create a revolution in the relationships between men and women. And I wrote both of those books because I believe we needed to balance the conversation, right? Not just, you know, women take good care of your men and not simply men be better men to take care of your women. But hey, God put us in relationship together. Let's bring some balance to it and let's really esteem one another and get better at understanding each other.
I love it. I'm all about harmony. Bring it on. Well, now there's a tough one that we got to talk about here. There's 13. We've only gone two. So we're going to talk on another one here, you know, because I think there's an assumption that we automatically do this. And Aretha says it and sings it so beautiful. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Find out what it means to me.
All right. Let's go.
Yeah. So the respect thing it's pivotal. And, you know, God gives some very simple instructions in the marriage relationship, right? He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, right? Those are weighty, weighty instructions. He would say to Peter or through Peter, he says, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. I believe 2 Peter chapter 3. Right. He says, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. He says, and if you don't treat her as an equal partner, right, your prayers get hindered. So he says, husbands, you love them. Right. And you treat them as equal partners. You try to understand that. He has one instruction for women toward their husbands. Respect him. This is one thing. Right. Wives, see to it that you respect your husbands. Now, the reason this whole principle gets twisted is because, for a couple of reasons. One, the idea of respecting a man is this notion, somehow mistakenly, that you just become subservient and sort of a doormat to him and all of his authoritarianism and, right, his twisted sense of power. That's not what respect is about. Respect is about understanding the order of God in the relationship. But it's also about understanding that that man needs something essentially in his life, that a woman is wired to be loved, to be cherished, right, to be cared for and supported and listened to and gently addressed, right? All those expressions of love. Love is patient. Love is kind, right? A man is designed to feel the weight of being respected and revered. Now, revered is not feared. Revered is taken seriously, mm-hmm. right, as a leader. So I tell women that a man can feel whether he's respected or not. Mm-hmm. He knows, right? You can say you respect him. You can, well, I do respect you. You're my husband, right? But he can feel it. And he knows his feeling says more than a woman's words. But respect says to a man, you're revered. And when a woman makes him feel respected, then he is, if he's healthy, let's just go here. Because right. Right, the assumption is a healthy marriage dynamic. At least we're working toward health. We want to be good together. When a man loves his wife, it's easier for her to respect him. Mm-hmm. And when he gets respect, he tends to love more. So there are two sides to this respect thing. Let me give this very quickly. There's a command to respect, which implies that a woman can either have to respect him or she can want to respect him. If a man is not respectable, right? Because he doesn't pay the bills on time. He doesn't treat his woman well. He doesn't make sure that home is taken care of. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If he doesn't act respectable, if he's double dipping, let me preach for just a moment. Y'all know what I mean, right? If he's being unfaithful to her, he can't come home and expect to be respected because he's not being respectable. So she can either have to respect him because God gives a command, or she can want to respect him. And I want my wife to always be positioned, my wife and my daughters, to always be in a position where they want to respect me because I've been a respectable, honorable husband and father to them. And I've just found that as I love my wife, as I love my daughters, right, their respect for me continues to rise.
Well, can you give us an example of one way that we can show respect to a man?
Yeah, you know, this is an interesting way. You know, one way to show respect is by addressing your children and how they address their father. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, my wife has said to my kids on occasion, oh, wait a minute. You can't talk to my husband that way. Right. You know, they might get a little testy in their teen years and raise their voice. And she would address them. Right. He's my husband. And he's your father. You will not talk to him that way. He is the leader of our family. That's one simple expression of respect. I think another expression might be, well, honey, this is what I think, but I trust you to lead us. Right? This is my, because I think a man should always value his woman's voice, right? That's why God gave her to you.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that my wife speaks up and says, you know what? I don't think that's going to go well. Right? I appreciate that. But at the end, she'll say to me, but you have to lead us and make that decision. And I trust you to do that, right? That just, Christiane.
Preach man, it.
I feel like the man when she says that.
That's right. Right? And then you're going to own up to it, right? Because you're like, whoa, okay. And you stand up a little bit taller.
That's right.
Shoulders back. You're ready to go for the fight of the next day. Not as a fight of the couple, but.
that's right. I'm ready to carry the weight of my responsibility now. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when a man feels respect. When he experiences respect from his woman.
Yeah, amen. Well, y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Cover Him, Caring for the Hidden Needs, Thoughts, and Feelings of the Man You Love. Well, I want to touch, we're not going to talk about it, but I do want to talk about the elephant question, and that is sexual intimacy. I don't want to go into detail because they have got to read chapter 4. I think
they
got to
read it.
It is good. It is in your face. And I love that. You keep it clear and simple. We talk about it a lot here called the KISSES, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions. Man, you just bring it down, Pastor Rod. And I absolutely love it. So when people pick up their copy, they need to go to chapter 4 because a lot of people have those questions and they're even afraid to talk to their counselor about it. They won't talk to their spouse about it. And if they talk to their best friends about it, usually it ends up in a conversation as to you're putting down somebody. Oh, he's not putting out enough, or he's not doing this, or she's not doing this. No, let's cut the cord, go to chapter 4. Okay, now I feel much better.
I'm glad you got that off your chest.
That's right. I feel better now. Okay, so we have to talk football, though. I love football. I am one of those who not only loves the life coach of me, but my passion would be the NFL women coach, and I'd own my own team. I would do it. I just grew up like that. My father, and I'm shouting at the team and telling the coaches what they should be doing before they even do what they're supposed to be doing. Anyway, you've had a lot of NFL experience. What has that given to you personally as a man? And then so you can then continue to outreach and raise up other incredible couples.
So my experience in the NFL, and mind you, I was in the same role on the collegiate level. So at Howard University in D.C. for a couple of years, and also out at UCLA for 6 years. So, and then it was 14 years in the NFL. So all of those years of being in that athletic environment, it really taught me the power of observation. Right. To learn how to listen and how to watch. Right. The beauty of coaching is I don't have to be the expert and I don't have to have played your position. But if I understand how to watch people, how to listen, how to see patterns. Then I can ask the right questions, right? The power of coaching is not my declaration. It is my investigation. If I can ask couples the right questions. So for example, when I see couples who are, they're just sort of at each other, they're butting heads consistently. One of the questions I ask some of my clients is, okay, so when we started this coaching agreement, you laid out for me some of your goals. Which one of those goals does this posture help us to accomplish? And it just sort of brings clarity to them mm-hmm. to say, okay, wait a minute. We're moving in a direction that is contrary to what we know is best for us, what we want to accomplish. And now we can start working on some principles, right? I try not to give principles without first helping to bring clarity through questions that probe people and help them to think more clearly about what it is they want.
So good. So good. Okay. So now that we have clarity, we have to then talk about this crazy busy world that we live in.
Yes.
And if anybody has children, it just complicates it more. And honestly, if you're breathing, life is more complicated between social media and all the 24/7, 365 news channels. And I mean, we could go on and on and on and on and on, right? You say, I quote, every man likes to feel that he matters. How can we prioritize our man?
Wow. You know, again, a lot of it depends on the man, right? Every guy has a little bit different. Our needs are consistent, but how we order them depends on the person. But I think the first thing to ask your man, what can I do for you that would really make you feel like you're number one in my life? Just ask the question, right? If I did this, what would make you feel like you're number one to me? Right? Here's a secret, Christiane, that a lot of women, they sort of suspect, but they may not be clear about it. Everyone, including your man, has some space of insecurity in his life. And the person who can minister to that most effectively is the woman who's closest to him, the woman who loves him, his wife. And usually when you ask him that question and he goes down his list, he's usually going to point to the thing that will make him feel a little more secure. So, and I'm not saying that it's your job to arrest his challenge with security. I'm just simply saying you have a place in helping him to work through that challenge in his life. Sometimes it's as simple as, and there's a whole chapter about cooking for him, right? Right? Guys, I mean, most guys in America are not on a diet, contrary to all of the diet fads in America. Most dudes are not on no diet, right? We want a good meal. Right?
Meat and potatoes, come on.
Some meat, some potatoes, even if he's vegan, right?
That's right.
Well, the fact that you thought about him enough to make that meal in a way that matters to him. You know, I think another priority for men is, you know, we're not going to talk in detail about the sex chapter, but that makes a man feel prioritized, right? If a man's got to wait 2 weeks, 3 weeks before he can get some good loving, right? I'm telling you, he is not feeling like a priority in your life, right? If you got a headache every other day, that's going to cause problems, right? And when a man doesn't feel prioritized, he will gravitate to a place that will make him feel like he's number one.
And that's the danger zone.
That's the danger zone. That's the truth. Yep. And that's the danger zone.
Mm-hmm. So good. So good. Well, I just have to get your attention now. You got to listen up. If you haven't been listening, I'm sure you have been. Some of you may be tuning out, but not anymore. Pastor Rod is going to tell us something. He writes in chapter 6, if you want to nurture your relationship with a man, you'll have to give him your ears more than your words.
Woo-wee. All right, ladies.
Stung.
Don't stone the prophet.
I'm not throwing rocks.
So, yeah, I mean, it's true, right? Men, we have fewer words than women, right? But that's neurologically proven. So that's not a slight. It's just how we are literally wired. by virtue of the structure of our brains, right? We have fewer dendrites, I believe is what it is, that transmit, you know, information. So we tend to have fewer words. Women tend to have more words. But men, when we use our words, need them to carry weight, right? And the weight sometimes is just the idea that a woman is hearing me, right? She hears me express my ideas, my visions, my dreams. The moment a woman interrupts a man who's trying to share something from his inner being, the moment she interrupts it, she says to him, she sends a signal to him, your words are not valued here. And guess what he does? He stops talking. And a lot of women wonder why their man won't talk to them. Yeah. Sometimes because you may be over-talking him, right? And so I've had to help my wife see this. Hey, I got a wife and three daughters. It's a lot of talking around the dinner table.
There's a lot of estrogen.
It's a lot of estrogen, girl. And, you know, and I had to help them understand that if my son, for example, right, who's a man of fewer words than me, he said, I can run my mouth, right? I can hold my own. But my son is a man of few words. If he starts talking and you interrupt by doing what is common in sort of women's dialogue, if he stops talking, what you have done is you've just shut him out from sharing his inner being and the wisdom that we might otherwise gain. And so I just have to point to them sometimes and say, you know, Jeremy was talking. Mm-hmm. Jeremy was talking, right? And oh, we're sorry. So I just remind them, like, you can't overtalk the guys. Otherwise, we're not going to share with you what's going on. Mm-hmm. Give him your ear.
Give him your ear. I love that. Okay, so deep breath. We're coming to an end here because, you know, we're just going to have you back maybe like 4 or 5 times.
I'll gladly come back.
There is just so much that we can dive into. As an author, usually when you write the book, there's something that jumps out to you. What was it for you that jumped out when you were writing Cover Him?
I think the thing that jumped out to me when writing Cover Him was one that there is such a well and a wealth of wisdom from the word for men's and women's relationships, right? And I think, you know, as I did some research for this book, there were not a lot of books out there writing sort of shoot straight, clarifying, ladies, this is what your man needs, right? That was the thing that jumped out to me. In fact, when I did some of my research and started interviewing guys, I was amazed, right? They jumped at the opportunity to say, this is what I really need. I really wish I got pages of notes, right? From the guys. And I said, well, have you shared this with your wife? They're like, nah, right? In some cases, you know, I've tried to, but she didn't get it. So I think the thing that jumped out to me, one, is that there's a real need here. Mm-hmm. And two, that there's great insight from God's word that helps us to address this. Now, my background is I did my graduate studies in counseling, and rather than go into private practice as a counselor, I believe that as a pastor, I could actually help people from the pulpit by sharing these sort of principles that would help their relationship lives. Because I think if you get better emotionally and relationally, Christiane, you can grow spiritually. But if you try to just grow spiritually and don't address some of these relationship dynamics, emotional dynamics, you'll be a fake believer. I think you'll just be, I shouldn't say fake, maybe that's hard. Maybe shallower than you could be, right? Certainly less healthy than you would need to be. And so a lot of spiritual language without good relationship sense just seems like they're incongruent, so.
Good stuff, Pastor Rod. Good stuff. Well, I know people are going to want to connect with you. Where can they find you?
They can catch me on any of my social media tags at Rod Hairston, RodHairston. Hair. I don't have any stone with no E, Hairston. They can go to my website, rodhairston.com. And just come and peruse it. I'd love to come out and speak at your couples events or men's events. They can also get the books on Amazon. Both books are on Amazon. You want to get them. This is going to bless your love life. You still got, well, tomorrow's Valentine's Day, but get the books anyway and let that encourage your relationship life. So Amazon, my website, rodharrison.com, and social media tags, Instagram, IG, and Facebook. I'm out there.
But we'll be sure to have all that information on the show notes. And you know what? Spring is around the corner, so we might just need to put a little extra spring in our step. Chapter 4, that's all I'm saying.
That's okay. All I'm saying.
Well, before I let you go, I have one last question. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
My story has gifted me the recovery from the loss of my dad's influence, right? Because that was such an area of brokenness, God has used that to become my passion, because God will often make your pain your purpose. And someone who grew up without a man's direction, specifically my dad, God sent other men into my life to help shape me, and now have a passion to help men and to help marriages. And so that's my story. That's who I am. That's what I do. And that's why I enjoy writing the books that I write and being on podcasts like this.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Rod. I know God is going to bless this book and your ministry immensely. Blessings.
Blessings. Thank you, Christiane. God bless you.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.